show my face. Can you could stay up all night with my face. Is that what they say? Is that what they say?
Yeah. What is it that sleep grabs you?
That's a cool. That's a cool. Uh-huh. Really, you're supposed to stay up all night.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bigger inyan, a much more important thing, to stay up Seder night than it is Shavuos.
Uh-huh.
Really? Shavuos is a custom. But Pesach night, the language of the Tosefta is Chayev Adam Lios Nurim Kol Alayim. Chayev to be up all night. So in Shulchan Aruch, they tell us a leniency.
Uh-huh.
That you stay up till the sleep overtakes you. That's a leniency. Because they're really supposed to stay up all night. And in many places, I know places where the Rav gives shir 3 o'clock in the morning. Till they get ready for night's minyan. They get together, they talk.
Yeah. Rabbi Miller, the first Seder I had, that's what he did. We stayed up all night.
Yeah.
Shaul Miller.
Well, there you go.
Rabbi Miller was joking about Rabbi Miller.
That's true.
So what?
Tremendous
the whole night. Yeah. It's a tremendous night. One of our problems is that in their schools, they train the kids to go home with these huge packets. And they forgot that it says in the Torah, "Vigadeta levincha," not "Vigadeta levicha." Forgot that. I know people that when the child comes home, they say, "Thank you very much. It's very good. We'll put it on the side, and tomorrow you'll talk. But tonight we'll discuss things." The Chassam Sofer writes that you're not supposed to teach the child in school anything. Nothing. So one year, my oldest son, had a setting where the menahel and the yeshiva did it according to the Chassam Sofer. They came home and they knew nothing. Nothing. It was the nicest Seder. I can't explain it to him. He didn't know, and he would ask everything, what's this and what's that, and you discuss things, and you could really get into an understanding of an appreciation and a conversation with him. And he was only 7, 8 years old, but it was new, it was something fresh, and you're able to connect to him. And this way they come in, they know it all, what are you coming to tell? So you got to get up and dance on the table, and they'll ask you, why are you dancing on the table? Oh, now we can talk. Understand? But really, that's not how the way it's supposed to be. So, I really say tonight, and it's very interesting, is because I find it, not difficult, but it really demands a lot of thought. Because he got into Levincha, tell your child, doesn't make a difference how old your child is. So if you have a child, if you're, for argument's sake, 70 years old, and you have a child who's 50, you have a chiyuv to tell him. But it's not just you tell him about Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have to give him an insight that he didn't know before. You have to raise his emunah in Hashem. And at the same time, he's got his 10-year-old son, your grandson, sitting there too. So you're dealing with the 10-year-old, the 50-year-old, and the 30-year-old. And you have to deal, and you have to bridge all of them into one thing so that they're all in it and they all walk out more informed and greater believer, and that's the responsibility. So you can't just walk in, you know, read up the art scroll and walk in. It doesn't work that way. You have to think it through. What am I going to talk about? Where am I going to talk about it? Where should I? know, it needs a lot of thought. When I was a kid, my father would say, tell us that they were up all night talking my tzitzis mitzayim. I used to think to myself, I don't know what in the world they were doing there all night. What could you be talking about all night? Right? And now I don't know how to fit it in the night. Now on an average year, we finish 3-4 in the morning. You know, and my grandchildren are in it, that everybody's up and everybody's in it. I don't know how people, that's very hard. Yeah. So much to talk about, so much to understand, so much to give over. To, you know, and you got to give it at all levels and in all age groups so that everybody is in it. So it needs a lot of preparation. It's not just buy the matzah and the wine. It needs a lot of thought process. You always have to see new things and read up new so that you come to the Seder prepared for new insights that they didn't hear before. And really, if you look in the Psukim, that's what the Psukim really say to us. That v'yigadeta levincha, that what is it you have to tell them? So the Pasuk tells us that there were 600,000 people that went out of Mitzrayim, levad mitof. Besides, let's call them for the tof, really means children, but it means the secondary. In other words, there are people that you have to raise them from being a certain level to a new level. And Seder night is really Emunah night. That's what Seder night is. Seder night is to develop Emunah in people. Matzah is called Lechem Demehem Nusa, the bread of Emunah. And the whole Seder is to discuss Emunah. How do you see Hashem? How do you relate to Him? Where did you see Him in Yetzias Mitzrayim? Where do you see it in your own life? It's all Emunah. And that's really why it's called Seder, the Mefarshim tell us. It's called Seder because you're supposed to understand that, I mean, Friday night you don't sit down and say fish, chicken soup, chicken, kugel, dessert. So why say tonight? All of a sudden at the beginning we sit down and we say the whole list of things. Why is it? Because the whole idea is to give over that there is a Seder in creation. There's a Seder, there's an order to history, there's an order to what's going on in the world, and it's not at random. And every step of the way, Hashem is moving it. And we started by talking about the order of the night, and from there we go to an understanding that there is an order of life, and there's an order in history, and there's an order in what the purpose of the world is. And all of that is to be discussed, say tonight, right at the beginning, before you make Kiddush. I haven't even begun. Or you could talk a few hours before you even start the Kiddush. One year we were, there's a whole thing about you have to eat the afikomen before chatzos, right? But how are you going to do it? Really, it's machlokas, do you have to or not? But okay, so you have to eat before chatzos. But you're running late. How are you going to do it? How do you do it? So I want to tell you a piece of lumness. There's a great Hasidic Rebbe. He was known as the Sachetshover Rebbe. Brilliant, brilliant man. And he wrote Shailos and Tshuvos Avnei Nezer. That's what they're called. Brilliant man. He was the son-in-law of the Kotzker. Brilliant. So he writes on the sugya, so he says, see, there's a machlokes. The machlokes is, do you have to eat afikomen by chatzos? If you hold that you have to eat it by chatzos, so we say, you can't eat after the afikomen. Ein maftir. Till when? Till when? Till 2 days? No. So till when?
Till lunch.
Till lunch. So Sacher Shabbos says, as long as there is a chiv to eat, once you've finished eating, and it's still in the time frame of the time where you could eat the Korban Pesach, you can't eat anything else. So if you hold that you can only eat it till Chatzos, so theoretically after Chatzos, you can eat. And if you hold that you can't eat, you can have to eat the Korban Pesach all night, so then you'll have all night. So he says, this is what you should do.
Tonight.
Right. What is he saying? Right before Chatzos, so you eat matzah, you eat maror, you eat the sandwich, then you take another piece of matzah and you say, if the halacha is that I have to eat it before Chatzos, so this is the afikoman. Mm. And if I don't have to, so this is a regular piece of matzah. Eat it, wait for Chatzos, and after Chatzos you can eat. Because we said, according to him, once the time is over, you can eat. Eat a regular meal. And at the end of the meal, you take matzah again and say, if the halacha is that you have to eat it before Chatzos, I ate. And if the halacha is that I have to eat it, I can eat it all night, so this is my avikum. And that's how, so my older children have asked me a number of times that for their afikomen present, I should be ready by Chatzos straight to eat it, no condition. I told them it's out of the question. I have not been able to. Anyhow, so I to me, Seder night is a time of talking, a time of developing. You know, it's a time to bring the children in discussion about the essence of who we are. That they have to become out of it proud to be that Jew, have emunah, have belief, see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken care of us in our generation, let's say since the war till today. It's just unbelievable what's happened to the Jewish people. And God has taken care of us, and logically doesn't make sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. And we have today more people learning in yeshivas than there were in all of Europe before the war. We have more people learning in yeshivas today than there's been since Bayis Sheni. And that only happened in how many years has it been since the war? And the whole thing switched over when Rav Aaron Kotler came during the war to America, and he said, I'm going to make learning like it was in Europe. They say, Rabbi Kotler, you're out of your mind. It's not going to happen. Look at what's happened. But so maybe we have to find a balance. Maybe we have to deal. But the Torah is not only in the yeshivas, it's in Balabatim. It's a whole turnover of what's happened in the last 40, 50 years, maybe 30 years even, that's happened. And that's an ace. And that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. And the child has to walk away with an understanding that there is a God, and that He lives with us, and that it's real. And that when you think about it, I always speak about it at the Seder. I say, you think about Israel. Whether they should have made the state, they shouldn't have made the state. We're not getting into the politics. But think about it. There's millions and millions of people living around us who are not human. And they are dying to overrun the country and kill everyone in it. And it doesn't happen. Why? It's not the Israeli army. Why doesn't it happen? That they should have just rushed the whole thing. So they would have lost, they don't care. But it was because Hashem's taking care of us. Hashem is protecting us. And we have to be able to see, to give it over to the children, that we are living in times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is living with us and taking care of us. Does that mean that we don't have difficult moments? We have difficult moments. But the child has to walk away being proud. Child has to walk around and away from the Seder feeling different, feeling unique, feeling special because of the Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the responsibility of the one who leads the Seder to give it over, to be able to express it so that the child can walk away no matter what age. 40-year-old child has to understand it also. Well, think about it. Since I'm only 18, so I don't have to talk about it. But, you know, when I was growing up, how many Balabat really sat in line? The first CMS Shas I went to, I went with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and it was in Manhattan. It was called Manhattan Civic Center or something like that. Nice crowd. Did you think about what just happened? And I watched 93,000 people come to a CMS Shas. Yeah. And then we have to realize it didn't happen by itself. It happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us. Whether it's because he allowed America to give us this freedom that we have, whether it's because we are generally growing, and that's part of Rayu right before Yemos HaMashiach, which is part of the problem. But all of it is what I have to discuss with the children and the adults at the Seder, that they should see it. They should understand it. Is it that we have deeper and broader Torah than was before the war? No. Is it that we have more people? That's yes. I had this chus to drive Rav Gifter one day to a number of places. Rav Gifter Zatzah. So I asked him, could the Rosh Hashiva tell me what was it like to be with these Rosh Hashivas in Tells, Europe, in Tells. It's an American boy. Went to Tell. He grew up in Baltimore. He was born in Norfolk, Virginia, and he grew up in Baltimore. And through different ways, through Rabbi Avigdor Miller and through other people, he ended up going to Tells. And he tells me that when I came to Tells, I opened the door of the Beis Medrash. I literally was blown down from the koach of the voice of Torah. So I said, but what were the Rosh Hashivas like? So he told me, if I will tell you what the Rosh Hashivas are like, you would never believe me. So I'm going to tell you what the shoemaker in Tells. And from there, you'll understand the rest. What was the shoemaker? He said, let me tell you the other thing. He said the shoemaker would close up early on Friday afternoon. He would get ready for Shabbos. He'd come to the Beis Medrash. He'd learn a few hours before Kabbalah Shabbos. He davened. He went home. He ate his suda, lay down for a little while, got up, and learned the whole night. In the morning he davened, he went home, he ate, lay down for a short nap, came back to the Beis Medrash, learned. Maitse Shabbos, he said, Chabura, he said in learning that the Rosh Hashivas came to hear him. That was the shoemaker in Tells. He said, so now what am I going to tell you what the Rosh Hashivas were? You can't fathom the shoemaker. He had this, he would switch into Yiddish, you know, the Schumacher in Tells. Now he gets old, this raggish old film. He said, so, you know, he said, how am I going to explain to you? It's hard to understand. He said, the Goyim came to the yeshiva and begged us to walk Beinas Dorim in the fields. Because they said, when you walk in the fields and you do that talking that you do, it blesses the field and the crops are better. And those same guy wiped out the yeshiva. But they have to understand that there were great people. And yet then, what's happened in America. It's unbelievable how we grew, how we happened, you know. And that's part of Emunah. And matzah is Emunah. Why is it that matzah has to be done within 18 minutes? Why? There's a very, very interesting medrash. Medrash says the following. It's quoted in many, many svarim, and many, maybe many of you have seen it. But the sefer, the medrash says the following. What is the relationship between our body and our soul? So the Medrash says, it's like a commoner who married the princess. No matter what the commoner will bring this princess, it'll never satisfy the princess. Whatever the princess wants, the commoner doesn't get it, doesn't understand it. And that's this relationship. So anything that we're going to bring that's physical, that our body relates to, and we want it to our soul to understand it, Medrash says it just can't, it doesn't get it. So this is a pasuk that the Chazal tell us on a pasuk. Pasuk says, Ushamartem es ha-matzos. Watch the matzos. That's how we know you need shmura matzos. But the word matzos and the word mitzvos are spelt the exact same. So Chazal tell us, Ushmartem es ha-mitzvos. Mitzvah ha-bo liyodcho, a mitzvah that comes to your hand, al tachmitzena. What does al tachmitzena mean? Don't let it become chometz. If I came to you and I said, you know, I baked last night unbelievable matzahs. It took me 25 minutes to make the matzahs, but they're beautiful. So you say, listen, Rabbi, it's very nice, except for one problem. They're not matzahs. So if I come and I tell you I did a mitzvah, and it took me 25 minutes to make the mitzvah, what would you tell me? It's not a mitzvah. What does that mean? So Mara tells us, from here we learn that you have to have zuizos, quickness, to do the mitzvah. What is the quickness? The quickness isn't like we run to catch a bus. That's quickness. No. Because we learned that if you don't have, if Torah wouldn't have been given, I wouldn't know this quickness about. I wouldn't know what it's all about. So what is this quickness? The point being, time is an element in the physical world. And theoretically, if I could, my soul would want to break out of the whole thing, times physical, the whole deal. You can't do that. It's not possible. So what do? I try to do a mitzvah with a quickness, and the quickness will show, what do I really want with this mitzvah? Is it just I'm doing what I'm supposed I gotta do, so I'm stuck, I'm doing? Or is it an act that I want to touch on something spiritual, but I just can't get there all the way because I'm in a physical body? But I want to touch into as much spirituality as I can get to. Matzah is exactly that. If the matzah takes too long, it's not matzahs. It's very nice and it looks good and they're delicious, but it's not matzahs. Because matzah is, I want to try and break out. I would love to live in a life of spirituality. But I'm in this shidduch of body-soul. So how am I going to show, how am I going to internalize for myself that my act should be an act that will somehow raise me above it, to somehow I want to break out? What needs to say, Marshall? He said, you're on this side of the wall, and there are great things happening on the other side of the wall. So you can come next to the wall and jump, jump, and jump. and you finally got yourself so psyched that you got your eyes over the top of the wall and you got a glimpse. Okay, that's good. Or you could get on the roof of the garage that's next to you, and then you can really see over what's going on. He said, when you make a mitzvah with zrizus, with a quickness, what you're really raising yourself to be on this side of the wall, to see everything on the other side of the wall. It's not just I'm jumping, I'm raised to a position now that I can really touch into spirituality. The matzah is really ruchnius. That's why there's an old, old custom that people take a piece of the afikomen and hang it over the door of the house. It's an old, old custom that you should remember a whole year around matzah. Matzah is who we really are. We have to remember and understand the matzah. And all the other stuff that's around it is to understand different nuances in life. But the center of the Haggadah today is matzah. Now, what's the difference between a matzah and a Korban Pesach? That we can discuss next time, Billy Nader. But what we have to understand today, it's matzah. And matzah is that which we call it lechem oni. And oni, if you look in the Torah, doesn't have a vav. And you would read it lechem oni, poor man. We have to discuss here why is it would seem contradictory to what we're trying to accomplish that night. But we read it lechem oni. And the Gemara says, oni she'onim olav dvarim harbe. We have many things to speak about this matzah. We talk about it in relationship to leaving. We talk about it in relationship to where we're going. We talk about it in relationship of understanding it. One of the great, great Bali Machshava would say, what is the sandwich of Korach? What is that sandwich? He said, after you ate matzah, you felt freedom. Then you ate Marah, the bitterness of exile. But you should know that all that we are experiencing is a sandwich. The top matzah is the matzah of the freedom from Mitzrayim. And the bottom matzah is the matzah of the freedom of Yemos HaMashiach. And between the two matzahs, there's a lot of Marah. But you should know that it's sandwiched in between and there is a bottom matzah. Wow. And therefore you have to see it that way and you have to explain that they should see the belief of the past and the hope of the future. It's all in Seder night. And if we have time, we're going to go through Haggadah. Haggadah is the biggest thing in the whole Seder. And we just run through it. But it's the biggest thing in the whole Seder. And that's why it's at the end. It's like the climax of it. The Gra wrote two pshatim on Pi Nigla and one on Pi Nister. And the Chassam Sefer wrote, I forgot, four or five pshatim. It's an unbelievable thing, the Haggadah. And Billy Nader will try and get to it. Bez Hashem, Yif the Gemara. Okay. So we shall, Bez Hashem, continue. If he lets me in again.
Always welcome.
That's us in.
You know, it's,
even though I don't have the matzah by the door.
That's cool.
I'm still coming.